Hello and welcome back to Your Favorite Album, the podcast where we sit down and ask someone, hey, what's your favorite album? I'm your host, Adam Santiago, and joining us this week is Kevin Knight, the editor-in-chief of eatgeekplay.com. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, man. How you doing? Thank you so much for asking me to come on, man.
Thanks. Thanks for reaching out. This is just kind of like one of those random Twitter networking things where I reached out to our mutual friend about being on the show, and you chimed in saying, hey, I'd be on the show, and boom. Gotta love it.
The funniest thing is I had discovered it a couple weeks prior to that when you had Eileen on. Who was it, Eileen or was it Diaz?
I think I had Diaz on first.
So then it was when Eileen was on there.
We have a lot of mutual friends.
And that was the weird thing was I went, dude, this kid knows. And then I added it to my immense library of podcasts and then kind of forgot about it. And then I saw your conversation with Tony and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. I need to listen to that podcast again. And I was like, oh shit, there's, you know, this kid knows a lot of the same people we know. You know, it's like, okay, this is fun. I think we could have some, you know, good conversation.
It is a small world out there.
It is a very small world.
Would you mind explaining what eatgeekplay.com is?
We are a daily website where we talk geek. It's not a news site. It's not it's easier to say all the things that we're not than what we are. Basically, it's a celebration of all things geek pride. There's two podcasts that we do, the Eat Geek Play podcast, where I sit down with usually a non-conventional geek, somebody from a band, a chef, a director, and somebody that you wouldn't normally think like, hey, this guy reads comic books, and we talk about comic books. So I've had like Adam from Taking Back Sunday. I just had the guys from Stick to Your Guns on there. Claudio from Coheed and Cambria. I mean, that's kind of a given. He writes a comic book.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then obviously I actually talk to, you know, your typical comic book writers and artists and stuff like that as well. So I've had like Mark Waid on there. Lynn Wein was just on it. And then George from Stick to Your Guns, who I met through doing the podcast. We do a weekly comic book podcast where we just talk about the news and comic book reviews and stuff. And we're both very opinionated about what we love.
Okay.
It's that aspect. And the website is kind of like BuzzFeed, but we talk about food, music, comic books, and it all comes back to being a geek.
Nice. So.
Yeah, it's fun, and we have a webcomic called Unemployed Trooper, which is a story about a artist named Rocom and his roommate that just happens to be an unemployed stormtrooper.
I like it.
We have one called Fight Scene, where our tagline is one page, one fight, one winner. So we pit two of the craziest characters, like Finn from Adventure Time and Wolverine, and they fight, and one of them dies.
Nice.
So it always ends with somebody dying. So that's what takes up my day.
I like it. I like it.
It's fun. I mean, I'm not making any money doing it yet, but, you know, I'm having a crap load of fun. And I think that's all that really matters.
Oh, totally. That's how I am with this podcast. I'm like, I don't make any money, so why do it unless I, you know, enjoy it?
When you set out to make money in something like this, you've got to be doing it out of passion first. If you're just doing it like, hey, I hear this podcast thing is popular and I'm going to cash in on it. Well, I have yet to meet somebody who's, you know, podcast rich.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel you.
It's gotta come from a passion first, and then everything else kind of falls into place.
Exactly. So now I'm going to jump right into the question here. Kevin, what's your favorite album?
This was such a hard one, you know, because first I was like, all right, I want to be on the show. And then I was like, what's my favorite album? Because I'm that guy that if it depends on which way the wind is blowing, you know, of what my favorite album is. But at first it was, you know, Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails. And then it was, you know, Every Last Time by Game Face, and then it was Out of Step by Minor Threat, or the Minor Threat discography. I mean, there's so many things that my music taste is so eclectic and shitty that there was a lot to choose from. But the one that I went back to was Commit This to Memory by Motion City Soundtrack.
Ah, a band we both know well.
yes. And this record, I mean, it was a really tough decision between I'm the Movie and Commit This to Memory, because those are two, to me, just personal, on a personal level, those records mean so much. It was like, I've got funny stories behind I'm the Movie, but there's a personal connection on Commit This to Memory. So I went with Commit This to Memory.
Ah, and what is that personal connection?
Well, let's start at the beginning. I used to run a record label called Glue Factory Records, and it was a label that a buddy of mine had, a bigger label called Oleo Records, and they did a lot of 80s reissues and stuff like that, and like Richard Blades flashback favorites and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this was in the mid 90s, I would say like 95, 96, somewhere around there. And I was just trying to get my feet in the music business any way I possibly could, and then worked in the music business for a long time. But I kept bringing these guys, because they're the only people that would listen to me, like, oh, you should sign this band, you should talk to this band. So finally they said, well, why don't you do a compilation for us? So I put out a because their whole thing was they were licensing masters. They didn't own anything.
Okay.
So it was all license deals. And they're like, we need to own masters. Well, I came to them and said, I can help you out with that. I know all these bands. And at this time, the Orange County music scene was really blowing up. So, and it was the height of the ska explosion, I guess you could say. So I knew all the bands and stuff. So trust me, the story is going somewhere.
You said ska. I'm automatically hooked, bro.
I put out an Operation Ivy tribute record called Take Warning.
Wait, and is that with the Aquabats doing Knowledge?
Yes, it is.
Awesome. That's amazing.
It was a fun. So that was like my first kind of foray, and the record sold, and it sold really well. So they went, hey, you want an imprint? And I went, sure. So that was born Glue Factory Records, and I was running that, and we put out a bunch of other compilations and stuff like that. And one of the comps that I did was this thing called Songs for the Brokenhearted. And Songs for Brokenhearted, I became really popular in the quote unquote emo scene. It was like some of the first Juliana Theory song, I think one of the first Juliana's Theory songs ever recorded or something like that.
Wow.
Roadside Monument was on there, Jimmy Eat World, and like all these other, so it like people seemed to really like the record, and they traded it around a lot and stuff. So I was introduced to I met these guys at a festival in Kentucky. They happen to be from Long Island. I'm giving you this really long story version of it.
Go for it.
That they were friends with Eddie Reyes.
Okay.
From Taking Back Sunday. But Taking Back Sunday hadn't started yet. So Eddie Reyes and I became really good friends. He was in a band called Runner Up. That I was trying to sign that band. That band didn't go anywhere. But Eddie and I became friends. He started Taking Back Sunday. They started touring around a lot. They played a show in North Carolina with this band called Motion City Soundtrack. I told you it was going somewhere. And I flew out to Long Island to go see, to try to sign Not a Surf before, because they had just gotten out of their record deal with RCA. And I was trying to put out Proximity Effect, which in your last episode, you and the dude from the Swallers are talking about Not a Surf. And I was like, man, that was a good choice. I would have gone with a different record. But so anyways, I went out to go see Not a Surf, and to see Taking Back Sunday. I didn't sign either one of those, but Adam was playing bass at the time. He wasn't even singing. Adam from Taking Back Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, dude, we played with this awesome band. They're called Motion City Soundtrack. He's like, you would love them. He's like, they kind of sound like, I don't know, like Weezer or something. And so I'm like, that sounds kind of cool. And back then, there wasn't a, you know, a big internet. This was probably 99, right? So, you know, it bands, like hip bands, knew that they should have a website.
Yeah.
It's like, it wasn't, you know, it was usually like a GeoCities website or something.
Oh, man.
So, and to track down a band was a lot harder. So, this, again, story is going somewhere. So, let's see, where am I going with this? Okay, so I hear about this band called Motion City Soundtrack. I think the name alone is just fantastic. I'm like, that's a great band name. I hope they're good. So I finally get a hold of them. I emailed Josh because it was Josh and Justin and whoever they could get to play with them at that time. And he sends me the, what was the first EP? I think it's called Buried Without Sound, I think.
Oh,
no, I'm sorry. No, Back to the Beat.
Yeah.
The Back to the Beat EP and a demo. I was going to go look for it too, with Boombox Generation and Buried Without a Sound, and I think Red Dress on it. And there might have even been a song that's never really been recorded on there too. It was just like these are songs that these are versions that nobody's ever heard before.
Yeah, I've heard a few of these. one of my favorites is one that is just not out there, and it always makes me sad.
I had been dating my wife for a while, and she's from Singapore. Hmm. So I was, you know, doing the hey, let's go to your home. You know, let's I want to meet your family kind of thing. You know, we'd been dating for a while at that point. And so I don't know if you know, but let's go back a little bit. So I get the demo and I don't know if I was in a bad mood I was like, okay, this EP is good, but your new stuff is horrible. And I remember I feel so bad about it now, but I remember sending Josh an email saying, oh man, you need to work on this and this and this and this, and just kind of ripping them apart and being kind of like, better luck next time, kid. And man, so I go to Singapore with my wife. Now, if you don't realize, Singapore is a 23-hour flight from Los Angeles.
Jeez.
And I, you know, you get to that point at some point when on that flight where you don't want to listen to anything, you don't want to read anything, you just want to be there. And something made me throw in that demo again. And I think I listened to it like 15 times. That entire it became like the Boombox Generation became the anthem for my trip. You know, like that thing that I just always listened to, and I made my wife listen to it, and she's like, yeah, this is pretty good. So I remember getting back home and sending Josh another email saying, hey man, remember that last email I sent you? Fuck that.
I got hacked.
Let's talk. But you know, the music business at this point, by then the glitz and glamour of having my own record label was starting to really wear off. And so I made friends with Josh, and somehow I was at Mac Rock. I remember I had a band on that show. I had two bands, and I was still trying to save my record label at this point. You know, the label, it was like the label that owned my label. When they did bad, we did bad, but yeah. When they did good, we did good, you know? And so it kind of, you know, it's like, I would carry the weight of the bad days and the good days, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I went out to, there's this big festival in Virginia called Mac Rock. And I went to go see, I had a bunch of bands. I had a band called Ashtray Babyhead. And I signed a band called Ashtray.
Yeah, I'm letting it roll in the back of my head right now.
Interesting. But, you know what, dude? You would love that record. I will. You're not on Spotify. No.
It's always going to come back to haunt me that I'm not.
You know you can get a free version of it, right? You
know, I know. I'm just, I don't know.
It's the greatest thing in the world. I put out that band, and they were actually both on the bill. And it was really, like, for me, it was the greatest thing in the world. And Motion City was on that show as well. And Adam from Taking Back Sunday had driven from Long Island or something like that, because they had just recorded their new demo with Adam singing.
So
just pimping that out. And so that was, to me, was like one of those, it was like, man. And I was a huge Air Type 11 fan, and, you know, I got to hang out with Air Type 11, and, you know, I was trying to sign them as well. But meanwhile, back home, everything's falling apart. The label is like, you know, about to go under and stuff. So I remember having, Josh reminded me of this a while ago. I completely forgot. I guess we went to Waffle House the morning before I was supposed to fly out. We met there and I forgot my wallet.
Oh.
It's like, hey, I'm going to take you guys out to Waffle House. Like, that was, you know, it's Virginia. There's nowhere to eat. And I left my wallet there. And that's how my life with Motion City started. and at that time, it was just Josh and it was Josh and Justin. I want to say Tim Casella's brother was playing drums for them.
Really?
And some like bro dude was playing bass. And that was my biggest, kind of my biggest thing with them is, you know, they couldn't get a good lineup going.
You know, it's funny. I just looked at my phone and Jesse just texted me randomly.
tell Jesse I said hello.
He knows that we're talking about them.
Did you tell him that I was coming on?
No. I think Tony's the only one that knows so far.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Text him and say, you're talking to Kevin Knight right now. And so, okay, this is the funny part. So they decided to do a West Coast tour. Mm-hmm. And it was funny because, you know, like it was one of those, I would talk to those guys, you know, it was back when like AIM was like the big thing. Everybody had an AIM account, you know, that stands for AOL Instant Messenger for the really young kids. And that's how I did all my business. Like I would just sit there and talk to Josh and be like, dude, what are you doing? What's going on? You know? And I would just be connected with everybody. You know, it was like, I was obsessive about finding out who was where on AIM, you know, mm-hmm. Like what's your instant messenger name? All right, cool. I'm going to start talking to you. And like, you know, I'd have those 2 a.m. conversations with somebody. So yeah, where were we? Okay. So they had been changing lineups and stuff like that. And they never really had like a solid lineup. And I remember talking to, on top of all this, Tony from that's in Motion City Soundtrack, was in a band that I was obsessed with, wanted to sign and have multiple babies with, called Submerge.
Oh man, that album's great.
I wish somebody would put that out or something. I think like, you know, 50 people know about it. It is one of the most incredible records. And that band could not stay together. And Matt Taylor was also in that band as well. So MT was in there, and Tony Thaxton were both in that band, and they were breaking up. And I remember talking to Tony on AIM. She joined Motion City Soundtrack. He's like, "Oh, I don't know, man. You know, they're in Minneapolis. I'm in Virginia." And I'm like, "Dude, don't worry about it. Just fucking join them." So I don't want to take credit for being in that band. But I remember going back and forth with both Josh and Tony being like, "Dude, Tony should be in your band," you know, because I wanted something to happen with Submerge, or what came from Submerge, because I thought those guys were just so fucking talented that they all needed to be in another band and stuff. And they were friends with, you know, each other and stuff. They'd played shows together, so they knew who each other were and stuff. And once Tony joined the band, though, that's when I think things really kind of started to solidify for that band.
Hmm.
Really did. And I don't know where exactly I'm going with this, because there's so many stories. But I, you know, they did their first West Coast tour and slept on my floor. I think that was before Tony was in the band. And then there were subsequent tours where they stayed at, you know, our house, and, you know, they were always, you know, I consider them more family than I do friends, you know. They're amazing people. And so the label didn't work out. But I started a website called thescout.net, and it was like a A&R tip sheet / rumor mill for the music business, because I was operating in Orange County and didn't know anybody in LA, and that's where everything was going on. But I was kind of like, I made it my job to, you know, be in the know about every band that was, you know, in that scene that I, you know, that I kind of was in that, you know, emo pop punk post rock kind of thing, whatever you want to call it. So basically the label that I was working for was crumbling, and I was like, I need a new job. Nobody knows who I am. I'm not going to go, you know, be an intern somewhere. I feel like I'm a little bit better than that. I've put out records, you know, I've done marketing campaigns and everything. But that's just not the, back then. It wasn't the way. It wasn't like, "Oh, well, you're talented. Let's give you a record. You know, let's give you a deal," or anything like that. It was like, you know, you had to work for you know, yeah, you had to have some kind of cachet in the business. And
yeah,
I was. So I started this website called thescout.net, because a friend of mine was like, "You should just start one of those tip sheet kind of things that people do." And there was one that, like, you know, like told you what bands you should sign and stuff. And so I was like, "Yeah, that's a funny idea." And then it kind of became a reality. And the first bands that I featured on there were a band called Melee, who signed to Warner Brothers, Taking Back Sunday, and Motion City Soundtrack. So, and, you know, subsequently went on to sign Epitaph. Through that website, I got a job at Chrysalis Music Publishing, and I signed Motion City Soundtrack to a publishing deal before they actually did their deal with Epitaph. So, you know, I've worked with the band on, you know, a personal level as well, you know, as far as, like, you know, our career level, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're like that, you know, they become even closer friends. And you know, that was with, I'm the Movie was already done. They had already recorded it. They had, you know, they did that really cool floppy disk.
Yeah.
Stuff. And so they did that, and then you know, that's one of those things where it's already done, you're not involved, you know. If it basically, they handed over the masters. I think they re-recorded some stuff, but it was, I think they might have added a song. You know, the version of Back to the Beat is completely different.
Yeah.
Which I was never a fan of, but that's their thing. I'm not gonna fault it. I don't think it holds the record back. But, you know, I was around that whole process, and, you know, in going into the next record, which was Commit This to Memory. And, you know, I remember when Josh called me and he said, hey, we're thinking about asking Mark Hoppus to produce our record, because they had been doing some touring with Blink-182. And I was like, ooh, really? That's a really good idea. He's like, you think? Yeah. And they were playing with Blink and No Doubt in Vegas. And I went out to meet with their managers and Mark to talk about the record. And it was like, okay, this is a great idea. And, you know, there's the curse of the second record. You have your entire life to write your first record. And usually that's why a lot of bands, you know, you'll have that first record is incredible. And the second record, you have 6 weeks, you know, or, you know, sometimes longer to write your next record and record it. Because, you know, if you become more successful, time has becomes your enemy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always the biggest challenge with bands is, what do we do for that second record? Sometimes they become better. You know, there's because, you know, everything aligns itself properly and it's the right time, the right place. Commit This to Memory was also the first time that Tony was involved in the writing, you know, and you know, Jesse and Matt. And I think that was a big part of it, you know, and this is just me being the casual observer. I could be completely wrong, but there's some songs in there where the drums are very important.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I really think that's what, you know, the addition of those two brought that band together. And, of course, Jesse. You know, it's like that just tightened that band so much. Like, and I remember sitting in the meeting where, you know, we made them an offer as a publisher and said, you know, you guys are finally the band I want you to be. And it was because of that lineup. So Justin turns to me and says, why didn't you tell me that before?
That sounds like something he'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a smart ass, but he's amazing, amazing guy. And, you know, like I felt with I'm the Movie, it's a lot of really great pop songs, but not personal songs. And with Commit This to Memory, it's more personal. It's a very personal record, if I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah, I mean that's one of the reasons why, one of the many reasons why I chose it. But I mean, there's for me, like, I mean, I was going through a lot of shit too, like with my career.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the record that always made me feel better. It's the also the record that, you know, my wife and I listen to together all the time, and just, you know, it just makes me happy.
That's awesome.
I mean, for such a tragic record, you know, because when you really look at that record, it's deep.
Yeah, no, it is.
Really fucking deep songs on there, and I remember Justin like telling me about some of the songs, just talking like Let's Get Fucked Up and Die. It's like, what? and having the conversation like, are we sure we're gonna put this on the record? You know, like it's called Let's Get Fucked Up and Die. How are we gonna get around that? You know, LG FUD. But so you know, there's songs like that, and I remember we went to go see Justin and I went to go see a band. Well, hadn't started recording the record yet. We went I still remember, I don't remember who we went to go see, but I remember it was at the Knitting Factory in LA. And, I was like, so how's the record going? And, you know, sometimes artists aren't very forthcoming with, you know, situations and stuff like that. And he's like, man, I think I wrote a really good song. It's like, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, it's a letter that I'm singing about a breakup. I said, but is it your breakup? He goes, no, I'm not sure whose it is, but it's all in third person. And that was Hold Me Down. And I just remember like hearing that song for the first time, I was just speechless, you know, just holy, this, to me, that song, just the way it's written, as far as, you know, it's a third person about a fictional situation, you know, as far as I know. And it's such a unforgiving song, you know? And it, you know, that there's that strange falsetto through the whole thing that's kind of out of Justin's range. But it doesn't matter, you know? So anyways, yeah, that's the 20-minute version of why I chose this record. And the podcast is over.
Goodbye, everybody. this album was great. I remember when it came out, I had already kind of like, we'd been friends for about maybe like two and a half years by this point. So it was just kind of like, oh, wow, they're putting out a new album, and that means they'll be on tour again, so I'll get to hang out with them again.
Yeah.
And then when I finally got my hands on the album, it was just like, oh, this is just right. Just when I was just re-listening to it today, the drums, Tony's drum breakdown in Time Turned Fragile is still, like, one of the best things I've ever heard.
I heard Time Turned Fragile, and it's like, holy shit. I was blown away by just the drum sound alone. And that fill still to this day. Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that song, I mean, again, another song where talk about a personal, just tragic song. It's funny because it's the record that I go back to. I'm 41 years old, and I have the musical taste of a 14-year-old Asian girl. and it's not joking. Like, you know, my favorite band right now is, besides Stick to Your Guns, you know, I listen to a lot of, Being as an Ocean, you know, like an old, like I've kind of returned to hardcore for some really weird reason. There's a lot of great hardcore bands coming up, but like, and then bands like Knuckle Puck, you know, and Story So Far and stuff like that. Like, I have a horrible taste in music, you know, like, still love pop punk, you know, and I love the fact that like you have balance and composure and like all
those guys are great.
Oh, fuck yeah. They're incredible. Like, you know, when I was doing A&R at Fearless, like, all these bands were gone. They didn't exist yet. And yeah, it's just like this wasteland of crap that I had to try to deal with. So, yeah, it was like, it was, music's completely different now. And I still listen to, just, you know, it's like Tuesdays are still exciting for me. Like, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are my favorite days of the week.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, because I go through Spotify and like, okay, what new record's out? You know, and the next day it's Comixology, what new comic books are out? You know? that's my life. And so with this record, I still go back to it every once in a while. And, you know, it's still a fantastic record. You know, like I sometimes it feels like I've listened to it for the first time, you know. Then that's the sign of a really good record.
That is true. That is true. Especially, you know, if you figure your life for a few years was dealing with music, you know.
Yeah.
You're exposed to so much, and you have to look at it from so many different ways. Like, is this marketable? You know, what can this sustain? You know.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the one thing, like, you know. I think there was a lot of like, oh, we need radio with this record, and it's like, no, you don't, you know. they did get a lot of press and they did get a lot of popularity from this record, but there was never like the big single, you know.
Which is crazy because so many tracks on this album I could see being on the radio.
I know. But there was never like, this is the definitive. I mean, you had that on I Am the Movie.
Yeah.
You know? But with this record, and to me, that's almost a sign of a good record, though. You know, it's like, okay, there's not a single because all these songs are so damn good. But, you know, and they did a lot of singles on this. You know, they did a lot of videos and stuff. But I feel like this is just this. It's a full record. Mm-hmm. You know, it you know, tells a story. Yeah. So, okay, more questions. What's your favorite song on the record?
Ooh, shit, man, that's tough.
I'm turning tables on you, Butch.
I didn't think I was gonna have to think. Oof. Okay. Definitely the Time Turned Fragile is just great. I have a very strong, like, I love Feel Like Rain.
Yeah.
I love that song.
That was the song that, you know, they didn't really play a lot.
Yeah.
That's the one that was like, you know, there's always that one song that a band is like, I wish it used to be, the joke was like, no, Kevin, we're not playing Red Dress. You know? And then it became, no, we're not playing Feels Like Rain. And they actually, yeah, I've seen them play it a few times.
Yeah, I've caught it a few times, definitely. It used to be my alarm clock tone on the old phone. So then my mom grew to love the song because I'd sleep through it ringing, and she'd be like, wake up and go to work or school or whatever.
That's funny. You know, and there's so much just, for me, with lyrics, I love simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
That has great imagery, you know, and like Better Open the Door, the chorus, better open the door before I take a wall around, you know, to take a hammer to the walls around it. Like, look, that's such great imagery, you know? And it's like, who's going to sing about that? You know, even when, and that's what I love about the way Justin writes lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, it's simple, but somehow makes it work and sound amazing, you know? Let's Get Fucked Up and Die, you know? Just, you know, it's a story about hanging out, you know, with your friends and you know, getting into trouble, kind of. You know, but it's kind of tragic in that way, too. Because it's kind of like the we don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You
know?
Invisible Monsters is good too, which was like the B-side bonus track.
Yeah, just forget about that song.
Oh, so good.
I know. I do. It's such a great. It is. It's an incredible song. But you know, for some reason, to me, it ends with Hold Me Down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I have to give it up. Like, it's they're a band that, yeah, you know, after this was, you know, the major label years, I wasn't involved, so the records got worse. Now, I'm kidding. I that is a complete joke. If they're listening to this, I really did. I did love Even If It Kills Me. I thought that was a great record. Because I always forget that. Even If It Kills Me was kind of an Epitaph record, but it was kind of a, I forgot what they're, Columbia, right? They were in Columbia after that.
Yeah. Cause Columbia was, My Dinosaur Life. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, was not my favorite record.
I enjoyed it.
It's good, but I don't know. There's parts of it, like I love Disappear. I thought that was a great song, and you know, Her Words Destroy My Planet, but dude, Go. Fuck, that record still, that record is awesome. Like, I still throw that record on too.
Yeah.
It's getting, you know, kind of long in the tooth, but you know, it's so fucking good.
Yeah. I feel the drawback to that album is just having, you know, fans who won't accept when a band is kind of like developing into.
And dude, Everyone Will Die.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, that song. It, you don't cry the first time you hear that song. You have no soul. it's just and you know, there's always those records that, you know, help you through times and stuff like that. And for me, it really was Commit This to Memory. I was going through a lot of shit, and that was always that record that, all right, it's going to take me back. You know.
Yeah. No, definitely. When they first started touring for Commit This to Memory, that was like, I had just gotten out of a relationship, and the relationship is pretty much directly responsible for me being friends with those guys. Wow. So it was like, oh, there's new music coming out, they're playing shows, and they're like, hey, Adam, just hang out with us, you know, let's just chill, like, don't think about stuff. And it was just came at the right time.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird because it was hard for me to choose this record because, you know, it's a person, you know, I have a weird connection to it. You know, it's not like I, you know, one of my choices was Downward Spiral. It's not like me and Trent Reznor are on a name basis by any means.
Which is funny because just the other night I was talking to my roommate and she goes, how has no one done Nine Inch Nails yet?
It was hard. Downward Spiral was on that list. So, you know, Motion City got picked over Downward Spiral. That's, you know, a weird thing. But to me, it's like, I remember listening to that record for the first time, and I remember, you know, where I was when I listened to that record for the first time. But I don't have that personal connection.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, I like I said, it's not like I can call up Trent and be like, hey, how you doing, man? It's been a while, you know, but, I could call Josh tomorrow and he'd be like, Kevin Knight, why are you calling me?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
you know, it's still like I have that relationship, but that's not the reason why I picked it. You know, it was just because there were so many different reasons to pick it. That was just one of them.
Yeah.
And man, you made me work for it though. It was hard.
It's tough, man. It's tough choosing these things.
It is. So.
Yeah, which is because a couple episodes back I did one of my favorite albums, and it was that same thing. It was just like I have all these favorites, but this is the one album that I was a part of, like the creation of it, you know, and just like toured on this one album, you know. So it's just all this stuff that I'd been a part of it, and it just made it resonate even more.
What album?
It's called "You're Always on My Mind" by the band The Great Big Pile of Leaves.
Oh, okay.
Because I spent all of the recording process out with them in Minnesota, and it was fun because Josh would come over to the apartment we were staying at and we played board games.
nice. Josh is a great guy. I mean, you know, it's like, you know how there's those people in your lives, you'll go a year without talking to them,
mm-hmm.
and then you talk to them and it's like nothing's changed. Like your friendship has not changed whatsoever. That's the way Josh and I are. You know, it's like we don't talk all the time, you know. Every now and then, you know, it's an email or text or something like that. Usually it's they're in town. It's, hey, let's go catch up. Let's go have lunch or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, the linchpin of like, oh, well, you didn't call and wish me happy birthday. Fuck you. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. You know, like we see each other when we see each other, but it picks up. We start making fun of each other and, you know, it's always good times.
Definitely. That's how I am with those guys. And, like, I guess Tony and Jesse are the ones I kind of, like, keep in touch with most. I mean, Jesse lives, like, two blocks away from me. Like, because, well, when they were recording Even If It Kills Me in the city, I was always just, like, out late because I was always working, like, late hours. So we'd always just go hang out and grab drinks.
Nah, Jesse is awesome.
Yep. Great
dude. Such a good dude. Oh, and that's the thing. Like, I think that when you have a band that works together, you know, and everything clicks, it's really important.
That's true.
Those guys, you know, like when that finally came together for them, and you know that Motion City became those, you know, those dudes. It was, you know, it was off to the races.
That is true.
Fell in line for them. So, yeah. I don't know. What is there anything else you can ask?
I feel like you kind of just naturally covered everything, which is easy for me.
Yes, I get. Wait, what's the other one? Do you ever make a mixtape? Put this on it.
So, yeah, I usually ask that because you know it's just like oh blah 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 blah. But by this point, you know you were well on your way to getting married. I mean,
we got married after this record came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my wife and I have been together for like 15 years.
So, nice.
You know. And she still listens to this record all the time. You know. It was funny, I told her I was doing this podcast and she's like, well, what record are you gonna do? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking about I Am the Movie or Commit This to Memory. And she's like, there's a choice. So I mean even this is her favorite record.
Nice.
Yeah.
So
it was hard picking between the two.
It's always tough. So now I have to put you on the spot even more. I always put a song at the end of each episode from the album. And usually, you know, it could be like, oh, it's just because it's your favorite track, or you feel it would resonate to people who may have never heard it. You know, anything. It's basically your choice.
I knew that you were going to do this. I just from listening to this, I wasn't sure if like you make them do it, but
yep.
It can't be Make Out Club because I have to say that's probably the one track that I thought was going to sound better.
Really? Make Out Kids is great.
And there's the weird clapping part in it. It just drives me crazy because I've always thought it sounds like a ping pong ball.
Oh, but it sounds so great live.
It does. It sounds great live. And I remember the demo, listening, like I remember going over to Brett's house and they demoed the record, like all the songs before they went in, like done pre-production, and going through it and be like, what's that weird noise you guys are doing? And it carried on to the record too. And it just, to me on the record, it still kind of drives me crazy because it sounds more like a ping pong bat or something. It does not sound like clapping. And then there was the fight over, should we put the distorted vocal or the clean vocal of Mark Hoppus on Hangman? Like literally it was a couple days I remember with management and stuff like that. Like should be the clean vocal.
It always bugs me out hearing Mark Hoppus do that because I've seen it so many times live that I'm used to seeing Tony do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's how I hear it in my head. I hear Tony singing that.
So I would have to go with Hold Me Down.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the record it's such a fantastic closing for a record. And like I said, it's some of Justin's, I think, best writing as far, because you as a songwriter you always have to push yourself.
Yeah.
And it's either you're telling somebody else's story, you're telling your story, or a version of a story. And it's hard to do that, I think. It's hard to tell somebody else's story. Mm-hmm. And to tell it in a third person as a letter. I think that is always kind of, you know, that's always been such an amazing part of that song. So I would see, but the thing is, you can ask me tomorrow, it'd be completely different. So, I mean, tomorrow it would be Feels Like Rain.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Yeah. Let's do Hold Me Down.
All right. Any parting words or anything like that?
Is this where I can plug my site?
Yeah, plug all your stuff. Go for it.
Oh, well, if you happen to like comic books and food and music, then I got the website for you. I mean, go over to it's Eat Geek Play, you know, like eat drink play, but replace that with geek. And it's my labor of love and what I do for my life, and I've never been happier. It's a fantastic site, I think. But it's just fun. It's me and like, I think I have 11 writers now,
maybe. Nice.
14, something like that. George from Stick to Your Guns is on it. It is a contributor, Tony, from Motion City. He writes for it sometimes. He's just been really busy. It's a lot of fun. And the podcasts are, if you're listening to this podcast, you might like some of mine. If I don't talk as much on them, so go over there. We're launching a this might be too soon. When are you gonna put this up?
This one probably be today's the 3rd, 17th, maybe the 24th.
All right, so we should have Geeks Against Humanity live, which is, we did an expansion pack for Cards Against Humanity. I like to say it's the card game for horrible geeks, and we have a podcast to go along with that as well. We got Scott Lobdell and a bunch of other professional comic book geeks to play a game of Geeks Against Humanity. So it's, you know, we came up with a whole deck of geek themed questions to play with your Cards Against Humanity decks. And it's a lot of fun, and it's should be for sale on the website right now.
Nice.
So I'll gladly take your $14 and know that I brought you some kind of joy.
There you go.
So that's all the plugs I think I can give.
Cool. Dude, thanks for coming on and giving me a lot of backstory to stuff. It's like,
oh man.
And I'm surprised our paths have yet to cross.
I am shocked.
Because we seem to know everybody.
Yeah. I'm sure there's somebody else to show up on the show and you're like, I'll be like, oh yeah, wow. I mean, you know, you gotta get some of my other friends on the show.
Well, Tony should be on soon. This is the grid test. Do you know John Cheese?
Oh, come on, give me an easier one.
Exactly. I was like, because if there's some way that you know everybody but John Cheese, then it's weird.
You know, that's like asking me if I know Brian Sheffield.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Brian Sheffield.
Everybody knows John Cheese. Yeah, man, so that was fun. I want to thank everybody for tuning in once again. I want to thank Kevin Knight for being on the show. And we're going to leave you with Hold Me Down by Motion City Soundtrack off the album Commit This to Memory. Remember, we're all over the internet, that Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, iTunes things. So have a good one, everybody. Bye.
You're the lady.